before we get started, a couple of announcements about the chairs. I'll just do it. So you notice the strange configurement we have here. So we're getting ready for the conference, and we'll be setting, this will be the setup. So when you come, you're to sit in a blue chair, not the metal folding chairs, and not at the tables. The tables will be set up for our meal time, our breakfast and our lunch, but not during the teaching time. And I also wanted to highlight this because I just can't remember if I did that when I talked about it before. The idea that all sickness is sin-based. I don't personally believe that. And sometimes I think you get sick simply because you were around somebody that had the flu. And your immune system wasn't strong enough to fight it off, right? So, and in Scripture, we have an example of where Yeshua and his apostles were walking and they saw the blind man, and the apostles asked him, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents? And Yeshua said, neither one. This is to the glory of Yahweh. So, that, I mean, boy, you don't ever hear a sermon on that Yahweh allowed somebody to be blind so that he could be glorified. Pretty intense. He's sovereign. And I think that's something that has kind of been lost in the church, is the sovereignty of Yahweh, that he gets to call the shots. He gets to say what, when, where, how, right? And who are we to argue with him or be offended when he doesn't do things the way we want him to do them? We become quite an entitled nation. And so we tend to, if we're not careful, we tend to become offended when Yahweh, or angry, or whatever, when Yahweh doesn't do what we want him to do, the way we want him to do it. So, again, I want to remind all of us during the conference to, I think it's vital that we not judge. You know, you're not going to agree with everything. You don't agree with everything I say. You shouldn't. So you go and you study the scriptures for yourself, and you find out for yourself, with the Holy Spirit's help, what you believe he's saying. So if you hear something that you don't agree with, then don't judge. Just go study for yourself. And let's keep ourselves clean. And here's why this is a big deal. We are being accused falsely of a lot of things. And we're being judged wrongly. We have to stay squeaky clean. We have to be so careful. Otherwise, that opens the door for those accusations to do more damage. And so, if we judge somebody else and we speak badly about somebody else, then we give the enemy the legal right to get to us. So let's fight this battle in a Christ-like manner and keep our mouths shut. Yeah. Let's keep our mouth shut. Yeah. The comparison being that we are being judged by, wrongly, falsely accused by some people out in the world. And if we don't keep ourselves clean and keep our doors closed, and we point our finger and judge somebody else, then that gives the enemy the legal right to get in here and do damage. So, and I want to, on that same note, I want to bring up the situation with Mike Bickle, and the same, you know, the same thing that's happening to us is happening to him. We don't have the right to have an opinion whether he's innocent or guilty, either one. You know, we don't have that right. That's not our hula hoop. We're not intimately involved. And so for any of us in this room to have an opinion, a negative opinion, sets us up also to be attacked. So from the moment I heard it, I took the position of, Yahweh, you know, and I'm going to pray for him and his family like crazy. And that's what I've done. And the people involved, the leaders of IHOP, I can't imagine how painful this must be, because they love Mike and they've known him for so many years. I've known him for almost 30 years. I just can't imagine how painful this is. So if we'll keep our hearts right and stay in that place of intercession, it keeps us out of judging. And so and if you've found yourself judging him or just thinking, oh yeah, I bet he's guilty, or any negative thought, whatever it might be, I'm going to ask you to repent and ask the Lord to get that cleaned up, and get that door shut, because we're not judges. Now, you can judge the fruit if you see fruit, but none of us in this room can say we've seen any fruit. I've seen a lot of fruit from Mike's life, but it hasn't been that kind. So I just, about a week or two before that announcement came out, I had this thought one day of something like, I'm surprised that Mike hasn't been falsely accused of sexual misconduct. I mean, it just hit me just like that, and I said, oh, I better start praying for him. And then about a week or two later, it came out. So let's just really stay Christ-like. You know, this is all good for us. Everything that we're going through is good for us right now. We are in a season of testing like I've never known in my life. All of us, not just me, not just Danny, not just our family, not just our farm family. We are, and Yahweh's doing it across the earth. We're in that season that he told us a couple of years ago, I'm coming to separate the chaff from the wheat. And that's in us. He first goes in us, and all the chaff that's in us, he's got to get it out. And he can't get it out if we don't know it's there. Because we have to partner with him in it, or otherwise he'd just have to kill us. And he didn't really want to do that. It's a gift. This season is a gift. And as we can embrace it as a gift and thank him for it on the tough days and the not so tough days, and if we can stay in that place, we can keep the enemy out. We can keep that door shut so the enemy can't get in and do more damage. And it's a battle, but it's unto something. He is really and truly getting us ready for this battle of battles that's about to hit planet Earth. The greatest battle that's ever been fought is about to land, and it's going to land in our nation. It's going to land on this farm. I'm not necessarily saying the physical. It might not. But certainly the spiritual, and it already is. So there's this crazy, demonic, Elohim, beings that's been unleashed on the earth to accuse the brethren. And it's everywhere. And it's happening. And it's the same MO. It's so crazy. Looking at how this is the same, because it's the same spirit. So our responsibility in the midst of it is to have no part of it. We're not careful, we'll respond in the same spirit and turn around and start accusing them. And that's not the right response. We bless our enemies. We pray for those who persecute us and falsely accuse us. And that's our position. And if we will stay true to that, we can stay out of the enemy's camp and we can keep him out of our business. And I really want that, and I know you do too, as well. So, just a little update on my situation. I'm persevering. I am doing my part and praying like crazy for Yahweh to, because I know he's going to do his part. Is still raging, and there's not, I had another blood test done and had, there's a measurement they can gauge on how my immune system is fighting the cancer, and how well it's doing, and that improved 0.1%. Which is yes, thank you, Lord. We want it's 15. My goal is it needs to be 2. So that's what we're praying. That's what we need, is for that number to show a two, be a 2, and that means my body's overcoming. So that's a prayer point. Also, I discovered that I have 4 teeth that are infected that have root canals, so I've got to have those pulled. That will be December 18th, a Monday, and you will all be getting a notice to pray. I'll be put to sleep, and that's going to be the prayer there. I've only been put to sleep twice in my life, once on purpose and once I wasn't supposed to be, but they made it oops. But anyway, the anesthesiologist said that they had a really difficult time getting me to wake up and that I needed to be aware of that. So that's going to be a prayer point, that I wake up. And that, you know, part of that, I keep thinking, man, it'd just be so easy to go to sleep and just go right on home, you know. I'm like, I can't do that. I'm supposed to fight. So, but anyway, I've been talking to my spirit a lot about that issue. So, and then the healing, because my immune system's so challenged that my mouth will heal. But you'll get prayer points on that. So that's where I'm at. I'm experiencing a pretty good bit of pain almost every day. Some days are worse than others. Some days are better than others. And so, sleeping is a challenge sometimes, and sometimes not. So those are some great things you can pray for me when you think of me. But, switching gears now. Go ahead and start praying for the surgery on my teeth. Yep. That I wake up. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'll wake up somewhere, right? That's good. Well, I just want to publicly acknowledge what a blessing Colleen has been to me. Try not to cry. She's thanks. She's She's been fantastic. It's been, and I appreciate all of you praying for those IVs. They've been quite the challenge, and Colleen's just been so faithful and just presses through. And originally she told me, I'm only going to do 2 sticks and then I'm not doing this. Well, we've had 6, 7 before, you know, and she's still stuck with me. It's not easy. It's hard. They're difficult. They can be complicated. But I have a testimony around that whole area, and Colleen's going to share as well. Because my veins have not cooperated my whole life, I've always been one of those that the blood-drawn people don't particularly get excited when they see me because it's difficult. And so when I was at the conference last month, I'm sitting there, and I don't remember what topic it was under, but all of a sudden I had this thought, I wonder if my veins are responding negatively because of, I mean, I'm 13 months old, and I get polio, so I'm taken to a hospital for 3.5 months, and I only see my mother for a couple of hours on the weekend, once a weekend. I can't imagine what that was like for a 13-month-old. And they're poking me and sticking me. And I just wondered, I started wondering at the conference, I wonder if my veins are manifesting what I experienced as a 13-month-old. And so I just began to speak to my veins and ask the Lord to show me and break any curses, anything that I might have unknowingly done or said or whatever. I just did all the work. I cleaned it up. And I commanded if there was any kind of demonic entity attached to it, up and out, and blessed them. And then ever since then, come on, Colleen, this is your story now as the sticker person.
So this was like the next day after the conference, and we put the tourniquet on, let me think, on this arm, and I'm looking, and she and I both look at the other hand, and here's this vein, I swear, it's as big around as this pen. You couldn't miss it. And she and I just kind of looked at that, and I said, after we got it all together, and it was beautiful, it worked. Sometimes you can have beautiful veins, but they don't go anywhere. This one worked. And I said, what happened? Well, you know that conference? She's telling me all this stuff about the conference. And I said, yeah, but Rhonda, you know how many times you've said I'm a difficult stick? She said, I know. I had to confess that to the Lord, too. I'm telling you, I could. And ever since then, they've been findable. We can, you know, do it without maybe 2 sticks, 3 at the most. It is, and when we get it in, it works the whole time. It doesn't die in the middle. We've had that happen too. Oh, yeah. When she first asked me if I would, can I say a few more things? Asked me if I would do this, looking at her hands, and they weren't real promising. And when she had cancer before, I had a friend of mine stick her so that we could draw blood because she told me she was a challenge. So I wasn't going to do it. Well, now she's asking me. And I was standing there, and I'm looking at her feet. And she said, what are you doing? I said, you got some really pretty veins on those feet. And she didn't say anything, but you could read it. She's going, oh. She didn't say anything. So I go home, and I'm minding my own business, and the Lord says, uh-uh, no way. And I thought, okay, so why not? And there's physical reasons that go on inside Rhonda that wouldn't be a good decision. So I won't be down there. But what just came to me, that as a 13-month-old, I'll bet they put IVs in your feet. Yeah. Uh-huh. That just kind of came to me as you were talking. So, Lord, I want to thank you for all the healing that has come from this conference. And I think Rhonda is just an example of what others have received at that conference and spending that time before the Lord with those people. I was impressed. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome. So now I'm gonna share just a little bit of something that's been on my heart, some scriptures. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be reading some scriptures here. And I'm trying to decide whether to read this first or share the story first. I think I'll share the story first. So these passages we're going to read, I've been chewing on them for a week or two. And this morning, I was at the sink, looked outside, and I saw Suzanne's van, truck, car, whatever you call her vehicle, the white one. And a lot of you don't know that she's faithfully every day prepares my vegetables. She shops for me. She prepares my vegetables for my juice. She ozonates it. I mean, it's not a little task. And then she brings it to my house in individual containers and often makes the juice for me. And so she's done that ever since I've been juicing. And so I look out, I see her truck, car. I don't know. What do you call it?
SUV?
Okay. I see her SUV, and I think, oh, there's Suzanne. That's her truck, SUV. And there's Suzanne. And then my next thought, clear as everything, is she's faithful and true. And I'm just flooded at that moment standing in my sink with that truth of how faithful she is. And then my next thought immediately is, oh my, that's what he's doing. He's making us faithful and true through all this hardship, through all the difficulties. And everybody has their own, everybody has them. You all, and some are, might be life-threatening, some might not be life-threatening. And yet we all have something that we're going through right now in the fire. And I'm standing there sink and I'm thinking, that's what he's doing. And then I think, and when Yeshua returns, Revelation 19 tells us that he will be called faithful and true. And then it just goes, whoo! His bride, he won't be unequally yoked. His bride must be made faithful and true. And how difficulty and suffering and pain, and whether that's past, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, all of that stuff is unto making us faithful and true. Now, we have a choice in how we respond to difficulties. We can fight it. We can run from it. We can hide. We can go find a beep and numb out and disappear and go back and serve Satan or not, Red X. But we have that option. He's that kind of Yahweh that he gives us the choice. But his purpose in it is to make us faithful and make us true. And so I'm standing in the sink and I'm going, I mean, it's just hitting me and I'm crying and I'm like, oh, she's coming in. I got to get myself together here. So I get myself together a little bit. She comes in and I just can't. I just said, I got to tell you what just happened. And so I said, I told her all of that. And then I said, And what Satan has meant for evil, look what Yahweh is doing. He's using it. He's using this difficulty in my life personally, and in Danny and our kids, and even our grandkids are being impacted. He's using it in this farm family unto a purpose. It's not wasted. It's not ever wasted if you're his son or daughter. And so, because of that, we can rejoice. We can persevere. We can refuse to say, well, Yahweh, why won't you? Or why don't you? Or why haven't you? Or we know you can, right? Because all those things are true. He can. But for whatever reason, he's not. And I'm okay with that. And it's unto a purpose. And it's not to be wasted. So whatever you're going through, however difficult it is, however, whatever it is, it's true for you too, as much as it's true for me. It's making us faithful and true. It's causing us to persevere. It's also causing us to get our eyes off ourselves and put them where they belong, and that's on the Lord, because he's the only one that can deliver us from evil. Yeah, Josh.
Just want to share something real quick with y'all. What Rhonda is saying is totally resonating with me, because a long time ago I asked Yahweh, why is Dana going through all this stuff she's going through? Like, why does it have to continue? It could be healed in an instant, but it's not, after lots and lots of prayers and fasting and all sorts of stuff. And I just asked him, just tell me why. Why is it still going? And he said, she's going through this so I can be glorified. And I think it was a few days ago, I asked him why, after the infusion, why all this other stuff came up after things were getting better. And he said, this is happening so I can make you faithful and true. I said, I'm not going to ask you more questions. I didn't like the answer to that one. You can do it in different ways, but I said, thank you for answering my question, and thank you for making good use of all this. So I'm really listening tonight. This really resonated with me.
All right, let's turn to James. James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4. This is something that I hear rolling around in my head so much, right, the last month or two. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I mean, that's a wow passage in my mind, in my opinion. First of all, here's how we're to respond to testing and trials and hardship: with joy. Now, like I've said how many times, joy doesn't mean ha ha ha. We think it does, that you got to go around ha 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 all the time. No, joy means that you're glad to be with someone. And I am so glad that I have Yeshua and Yahweh and the Holy Spirit in my life. And I can rejoice in that and I count it all joy. I've said, I don't know how many times, I can't imagine walking this out without his surround presence. I just don't know how anybody could do it without the Lord. So consider it all joy. And the reason he's telling us to count it all joy, to be so glad and thankful that we have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our lives, is because, he says, because he's testing your faith. Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to be faithful and true? Are you going to endure? Because if you will do this, you'll have endurance and you won't quit and you won't get offended. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete. That word perfect doesn't mean flawless, doesn't mean without sin. It means complete. It means whole, lacking nothing. So we can look at the difficulties that we're going through and recognize and acknowledge, number one, that we have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit surrounding us and in us, both. It's both. And knowing that he's testing our faith so that we'll have endurance for the days that are yet ahead of us that are going to be even harder and more difficult and more challenging, so that we'll be whole and complete, not lacking in anything, because we have him. We've learned how to walk through the fire and not turn our backs on him and not accuse him and blame him. And even when you aren't able to perceive his presence, like Yeshua on the cross, we learn how to respond as if you can feel his presence. So, Revelation 17, verse 14. Let's look at that one. Verse 14, these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. He's making us faithful. He's called us, he's chosen us, and in the end, he says we will be called faithful. Before we end, I want to Suzanne, you to be sure and share the prayer meeting this morning. Okay. In case I forget. All right, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Verse 10 says, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Talk about the sovereignty of Yahweh. He tells them, hey, you're about to go to prison and you're going to be tortured for 10 days, but don't give up. Don't quit. If you'll go ahead and be a martyr, I'll give you a crown of life. He could have changed that. He didn't. Again, the sovereignty of Yahweh. We must embrace the sovereignty of Yahweh. Otherwise, we will be offended, I guarantee you, if you don't. All right, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, we'll start verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. They're being faithful is what verse 4 is saying. So the point here is that we recognize that our hope is in the fact that the Lord is faithful. Don't put your hope in the fact that you can be faithful. But for the grace of God, we all are going to fall on our faces. And, right? I don't even want to say it. But he's faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And if I can just say this, we've all seen it. This isn't a secret. We've all watched this in Riley's life like crazy. I've seen it in Tony's life like crazy, especially knowing what I know, that he has protected them and strengthened them from the evil one over and over and over and over and over in ways we don't even know a lot of times. So our confidence is in his faithfulness, not in ours. And our hope is in this truth that he's going to strengthen us. He's going to keep us. He's faithful to me. He's faithful to you. And that his will and his kingdom will be done in your life and in mine. Whatever that script is. And that's where we get in trouble. We write our own script, or we want our script to look like this for our life. And he's written another script. And the only question we can ask in relation to that is, so what am I going to do about it? When the script plays out in a way I don't want it to play out, what am I going to do about it? Our 1 Thessalonians 5:24. This whole idea of faithfulness is all over the Bible. These are just a few. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. We have to keep our eyes on the one who is our deliverer, our redeemer, our healer, our shepherd, our pastor, our best friend, our father. We must keep our eyes and keep that relationship with him. We must, because he's the one who's going to do this. All right, 1 Corinthians 10. Don't you just love the word? His words, his love letter to us, to encourage us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Now, I just want to clarify this passage, because Yahweh says that he never tempts anyone. He tests us. So the temptation here doesn't come from Yahweh. The temptation comes from us. It's something in us that creates the temptation. And Yahweh is saying here, I'm going to be faithful. And if you'll just hang in there with me and fight and not give in to the temptation, I'll deliver you from it. So what this verse says is, basically, at the end of the day, no one will be able to point their finger at Yahweh and say, I couldn't help it. Satan made me do it. I remember when I was 12 years old, that slogan was going around all over school, T-shirts, the devil made me do it. You know, I mean, Yeah. Yeah. It's not true. The devil didn't make Adam and Eve do what they did. They did what they did because they wanted to. Eve did it because she was tricked. So he will make a way. And then Matthew 25, we're going to end on this one. Matthew 25. This is a little bit longer, but it's well worth the read. Matthew 25, beginning in 14. This is Yeshua speaking. He's talking about, actually, the days of Noah, the end of the age. The context here is the end of the age, right? So he says, for it is just, verse 14, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Now I'm going to commentary as we go. So he's got these servants, 3 servants, and he gives them an assignment based on their ability to what they could do. I love that about him. He's saying, I'm not giving you something that you can't do. I'm going to give you what you can do based on your ability. And so then he leaves, and he leaves them with the task. Immediately, the one who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. Immediately. This guy was faithful. He didn't waste any time. He went and right away made more money for his master. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who'd received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful. There it is. Good and faithful. Slave, you are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The one who had received 2 came up and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2. I've gained 2 more. His master said, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Notice, I mean, I'm so glad he didn't use like $5 million talents and 500,000 talents. He used 5 and 2. I mean, that's doable. I got two. He brings this right home to where we don't have to be some superstar. He's looking for what? What's he looking for? Faithfulness. Faithfulness, right? And he rewards faithfulness extravagantly, way out of proportion to the deed. And the one who also received the 1 talent came up, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. And I went away and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. Ouch. So first of all, he's accusing Yahweh of being a hard master. Harsh. He has a slave mentality instead of a love mentality. The other two, you can almost feel the joy. You know, immediately he goes and does. And he's afraid. He let fear run his life and decide what he was going to do and what he wasn't going to do with whatever gift Yahweh put inside of him. But his master answered and said, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow, and you knew that I gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This should cause fear and trembling in every one of us. Especially if fear is ruling your life. Especially if faithfulness is not, has not been cultivated in your life. It's all about being faithful with whatever you have, whatever little bit you have, whatever it might be. He's not demanding this perfectionistic superwoman, superman life. He's saying, "I've given you this. Now will you use it and sow it into my kingdom? I've given you this talent. Will you sow it into my kingdom?" And, you know, we all have different gifts. We all have different talents. So, which one are you? You're one of them. It really matters how you spend your life. This faithfulness issue is what he's after. Are you faithful? Whatever battle you're in right now, are you being faithful in that battle? Whatever demon is after you, whatever sin that so easily besets you is knocking on your door, are you faithful in that battle? This issue of being Christ-like, are you being faithful? Are you asking yourself? Wow, that I'm finding myself more and more going, "Oh, honey, that wasn't Christ-like." And I find myself repenting more than I've ever repented in my life. Am I being faithful in my thought life? Am I being faithful with money? Am I being faithful with my time? Am I being faithful with my friendships? Am I being faithful to do whatever it is I believe he's asking me to do? Are you? That's a question we have every day. Yeah. At the end of the day, one of my favorite questions to ask Yahweh is, "Yahweh, was your heart satisfied today? And if not, where was I not Christ-like? And I clean it up. Did I satisfy your heart today?" And I know that only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying I can do it. We must be found faithful. because Yeshua is returning for a bride like himself. He will not be unequally yoked. He will not marry. He will not bring us into that bridal partnership if we're unfaithful. And he is the only one who can do that in us. And he will do it. He says it in his word. We read it. That he's faithful to complete and perfect. We didn't read that one. 3:7. My 3:7 numbers. He's faithful to complete and perfect what he's begun in me and in you. So Holy Spirit, we invite your presence to manifest in the hearts and minds of every one of us right now. And where we need to repent, I ask that you would shine your light and convict us. Show us where we've not been Christ-like. Show us where we're not faithful. Where we've been lazy. Where we've been careless. Where we've just simply quit. Because we say it's too hard. Would you convict us? And shine your light. And now, Yeshua, we ask you as our great high priest to pour your blood over our sins. Wash away our unfaithfulness. Wash away our laziness, our apathy, our complacency, our fear. And make us Christ-like. Make us faithful and true. Put that fight in us. Put that fight in us, Yahweh. We need your fight in us. That perseverance. That servant heart. We'll be eager to serve. Not lazy. But eager. We would count it all joy when we suffer. Put it in us, Yahweh. Holy Spirit, work it in us. That we would be faithful and true. In Yeshua's name we ask. Amen.